Today, I want to speak to why many healing modalities might not have worked for you so far. Or maybe some have been effective, but only temporarily. And this is really important because when we try maybe different healing methods, and they don't work, this can leave us feeling truly broken, like there's something really wrong with us. I know that from experience, and I don't know if you can relate with this, if that has been your experience, but the more you try and the more it doesn't give you the result that you were looking for, the more hopelessness sinks in, the more you feel like a failure, which actually strengthen those beliefs that already, being the daughter of a narcissistic mother, you probably carry within you, of being a failure as a daughter, of being a failure as a person, not being good enough ever. We spoke about this in episode one, different ways that being a daughter of a narcissistic mother can make you feel on the long term. So you can go back there and listen to that to expand on this. I really want to address this now because definitely you're not broken, and most definitely you're not a failure as a person in any way. So if the things that you've tried now up until now have not fully worked, or they've given you just some temporary relief but they haven't really given you that long-term effect result that you were looking for, there is a reason. And I'm gonna address this as best as I can today. Of course, again, this is a vast topic, so I'm just gonna narrow it down to a couple of things that I found in my experience, but there can be more to this, so you can let me know, you can reach out, you can let me know via email in any way if there's more to this that you would like to add from your experience. I always love hearing that from you, and you can do that going onto the website, Women Reclaiming Their Fullness, and from there you can reach out to me. Okay, so we need to start from childhood. Being a daughter of a narcissistic mother, it all goes back there. Those beginning years, those formative years with a mother that was not able, for all of her reasons and for being a narcissist, to provide for you what you needed at that time. So being brought up by a mother with narcissistic behavior, chances are as a baby, you have not been nurtured properly, because narcissistic mothers are not wired for that. They can't see the needs of their child. They always put their own needs in front of the needs of their child. And that's just how it is. So as a child, you more than likely have lacked the love, connection, and touch that you needed and deserved, and a part of you still rightfully craves that. I can speak a little bit here of my own experience, and I'm only doing that so that can give you a reference, or you can see if that has been your experience and reflect on your experience then. So as I grew up, my body started showing up signs of needing healing very, very early on. So I developed a form of chronic pain when I was just a teenager. It was something quite simple in a way. It was my wrist became very, very sore all of a sudden with no apparent cause. But everything that I did, especially in my late teens, I was working quite physically on the farm. I was, and I loved that. I was doing a lot of yoga. There was a lot of stuff that I was doing that required my wrist to be healthy. and all of a sudden I was told all of those things I was never going to be able to do again. I remember going to a physiotherapist at one point because I've tried the medical route first. And I was told that maybe I should consider knitting or, I don't know, some hobby like that. And I remember just feeling gutted because, I'm just really not a knitting person. If you like knitting, I love that you do that. I absolutely have great admiration for every woman that knits because it's amazing what you can create. But I'm really not. That's just not my thing. So, yeah, that was really tough. And after that, things started adding. So I had very, very strong recurrent kidney infections. Again, with no apparent cause, no doctors could figure out why. I started then later on, this is growing up again, so I'm past college, but beginning to start to have signs of chronic fatigue. Some doctor tried to diagnose possible different crazy things. And so none of the medical route brought results for me personally because they couldn't find anything wrong. It was baffling them. I had the symptoms, but there was nothing really showing on anything that I was, you know, scans and things. So that started me on the path of holistic healing. And I learned, because that's what I do, I start something and then I want to learn more about it. So I learned in depth various modalities, including energy healing, herbalism, yoga. Again, I just went very deep with that, meditation and so on. I just kept going. And all my efforts would put a patch on it for a while, but something else would always come up. And don't get me wrong, all those modalities still remain extremely precious to me and are all very valid tools that I still use. So none of this episode is to put down any healing modalities that you might have used, that like when they're done properly and by a practitioner that knows what they're doing, they're very valid and they really work. So like, this is not the point. But what I realized at that stage was that I was missing the point. The part of me that was experienced, that was expressing through all the physical issues, did not need more healing or fixing. And that's important. No more fixing. What she needed was attention. What she needed was all that she had so missed as a baby, as a child, and growing up. She needed to be contacted, seen, and held. So simple. Has it ever happened to you, for example, to go to the dentist? You have a toothache that is like feels terrible and it's driving you mad, and then when you're finally at the dentist and you're sitting on that terrible chair of torture, but yet it doesn't seem to be that sore anymore before anything has even started. Sometimes it stops being that sore the point that you've booked the appointment. And why is that? That happens because it's been taken care for. So your system can actually relax. It has been addressed. Okay, now this is a very simple example, but it's just to understand the mechanism. So this, that's with baby in you, the part of you you might have heard referred to as the inner child, needs to be seen, contacted, and held. Needs to be taken care for. And again, that hasn't happened. If you are the daughter of a narcissistic mother, of a mother with strong narcissistic behavior, you have not received that. Not at all. not in the right way anyways. Because as I said again in previous episodes, even if she has been, because narcissism in mothers, again, can manifest in many different ways. And it goes from complete neglect all the way to overbearing presence. Okay, zero boundaries, completely in your face. And it seems that aspect can seem very, very caring. There is a whole, I will do a whole episode on what the covert narcissistic mother is, because that's really another really important one. Because it seems like really, really caring. It actually does seem like she's there providing absolutely everything for you. But again, it's to remember that she's doing that not because she's truly seeing to your needs. She doesn't really see what you need. She's doing it for her own needs, her own emotional needs. It's ultimately always for her own needs. And in that, very often what you can see is like they seem like they're providing a lot, but actually the child is, yeah, but I didn't need that. I needed this other thing and you're not listening to me. That's the feeling inside. Of course, a child can't really speak that clearly at that stage, but it's like I'm looking for such and such, and instead you're just doing this other thing that in your mind is what you think I need, but I'm telling you that I don't need that. So again, you haven't been provided for. You have been missing a really, really important part. So how do we do that? How do we get our inner child, that part of us that craves that, to be seen, contacted, and held, when our mothers have never modeled that for us? It can be very tricky, for sure. And so what we have done, what we do is we develop strategies. Again, that's just how it happens. Our system is super resourceful and there's an incredible wisdom in it, and survival just triumphs. And so we develop strategies that are super valid in the moment, but more often than not are quite detrimental on the long run. So if you're like me, maybe you learn to soldier on no matter the pain. So whether it was physical or emotional, you just kept going until you still do that, actually. That could be a thing. I know I need to catch myself on this. You just keep going until you're completely run down. So you have good times when you're feeling really, really good, and you do. And then you hit the low. Or you actually have like whatever symptoms that you're feeling, emotional, physical, like, and you just keep at it and keep at it. You don't rest until something harder happens to your body and you have to rest because you have no choice. I was in a cycle of getting sick, and I do remember some of the practitioners that I went to with a more holistic view would tell me, like, you run yourself down too much and then your body responds and it makes you sick so that you can finally lie down and rest. So what that did to me at the time was, oh well, then that means I can soldier on. There's nothing really wrong with me. And it made me forget the healing for a little bit longer. So not very helpful behavior at all. Maybe another strategy is that you learn to overprotect. And so at the first sign of anything amiss, you get really anxious and until yet another diagnosis is given to you. And then somehow you just feel better about it. You're like, okay, I have this other thing. You add it to the list of the many things you have, and you can relax. And there's nothing bad about this. It's really important. Here, I want you to know that there's never a judgment. I have I have been through quite a bit, and I've learned in recent years that judging myself for the strategies that I had to use, not consciously, of course, it's not very helpful. So I invite you not to do that. Don't judge yourself. I really get it why you had to do this. These are responses you learned that helped you get through tough times as a child. As I said before, and I will say it again and again and again and again, deep bows to that part of you that brought you to today. She did what she had to, given the circumstances. But these responses are not helpful anymore. If they create a cycle of pain that you don't need in your life. They affect your life. They affect everything around you, and you know that. So, that's not helpful. And I want to speak a little bit more about these responses because it's very, very important. Both cases, both the type of strategy that goes through highs and lows, and the one that just, it's more often wired on a low and just wants diagnosis, craves for more diagnosis. A lot of labels get stuck to you. So let's start with the first one. So the highs and lows, like, it's really important to remember as women, well, everything, not just women, actually men, like the whole of nature, everything is cyclical, moves in cycles. So let's look at that for a moment. It is very natural to go through periods of your life, in your year, where you feel more energized, and to go through periods where you feel more restful, you feel more like you want to withdraw inside. Like, already, if we go with the cycles of nature, like, I mean, if you are in a part of the world where the seasons are very defined, like I am, you will have a winter, and, you know, there's a summer and a winter, and so there's like periods where you're more wanting to be out there and feel energized, and moments where you want to be more within yourself. There's the moon every month, and again, you don't have to be into that. I'm just bringing examples. I know it does work for me, but it doesn't have to be what you go by, but it's just something to be aware of. The moon every month does full cycles, and again, that has an effect on how we feel, and you know, usually when we're going towards a full moon, we feel more energized, we feel more out there, we want to do more. And when we're going towards a new moon, we want to be more in. So, and that's without adding onto that, and I'm going to do countless episodes on this, so bear with me, your cycle, I mean, your menstruating cycle, that's really important. We're women, we have that. And without going in depth now into all the phases of that, it's really important to consider that there will be parts of that monthly cycle where you're feeling more energized naturally. That's when you tune into that, that's just how our body works. And there are parts of that when you're going to naturally feel like wanting to be more in a quiet space. And when all of that is not honored, that can go out of whack very, very quickly. So again, without going into details, this was just to give you a little bit of an overview on the fact that being cyclical, it's in the very nature of everything that is actually nature, and you are nature. You're a woman. You're actually very, 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 very close to nature, close to the earth. That's your woman essence. That's your feminine essence. When you tune into that, And of course, we have been taught to completely tune out of that. So that, again, that's another episode. There's tons of branches that can come out here. I'm trying to stay on track. But it's really important to understand. So before you go believing any label that is slapped onto you about being crazy because you have highs and lows, remember that being cyclical is very much part of us. Now, when there's a heap of trauma stored in the body, when we've been reared in a way that it's really not nurturing of anything, when we've been shamed about our bodies, when we've been shamed about our emotions, when we've been shamed about everything that we are, those cycles go out of the whack. And so if you are feeling that, that's probably what's happening. There's nothing wrong with you inherently. There is no need for a label that is going to be there stamped onto you forever. That means that you're broken and possibly also unfixable. I personally really don't believe any of that, because if I believed every label that was given to me by different many systems that tell you that they're here to help us healing, well, I would not be here today. Oh my God, definitely not. So so I want to say that. And the same goes, of course, for if your strategy has been being super protective and actually looking for more of these diagnoses, that just gives you a relief in the moment, because you're finally feeling like you understand why your system is going this way or that way. And I do get the relief that happens then. I really do get it. It's very live in me actually these days. I have had a stabbing pain in my right side, and I've been very worried about what that could be. It was so sudden. So when I was told that it was a broken rib, I've relaxed, because it's like, okay, I know what it is. I can define it. But does that define me? That's the question. Okay, so you get diagnoses that, yes, they might help you understand the mechanism of what's going on within your system on some level. Can you still keep yourself separate from these labels and not identify, use them as a guideline, as a map, so that you know now how you can go about this, rather than just let that completely define who you are in your totality and your entire life? That's just something to work with, to reflect on. So to go back to the main topic here, why these different modalities that you might have tried have not worked or not worked fully, and the strategies that you've been using, you need to learn a new way. That's just the thing. I definitely had to. I've come across many practitioners that have explained to me the exact same thing and confirmed it for me. There's a new way, and we need to learn it from scratch. I really had to learn it from scratch. It's not something we've been taught growing up. Society doesn't teach us this, and our mothers did not teach us this. But there's good news. And the good news is that this new way is actually the one we are naturally wired for. You are naturally wired for this from the very beginning. From when you were born as a babe, you were wired for this. And the more learning, more than a learning, it is a remembering. It is a remembering of something that you know already. And of course, it requires some training and practice. But your system will respond to it very quickly, because you already have it. We are here to rewire the system. And you can do that through giving yourself what your mother never gave you, which is the gift of being seen, held, and accepted exactly as you are in the moment. And this sounds simple and complex at the same time. Because it sounds very simple. It's like, oh, so is that all I need to know to do? I just need to accept myself in every moment. Yes, you deserve that. You do. And yet, it's quite complex because we haven't been taught that. And it's one thing to do it rationally, to understand rationally that that's what you have to do and tell yourself that. And it's a different thing to embody that, to have every cell of your body beaming love to yourself. The most life-changing words someone ever said to me were, "You're lovable." I remember crying, literally like a child, the first time I've heard that. But I am, and so are you. You are lovable, and you can offer love to yourself one step at a time. It is a process, and it requires some discipline for sure. You need to most definitely be kind to yourself and remember that you probably lived most of your life feeling undeserving of love in some way. I still have plenty of moments when I forget to love myself, and that's okay too. This is not about fixing some broken part of you into becoming perfect. You're not broken. And perfect doesn't exist. When I started understanding more the whole concept of having a narcissistic mother and what that meant for me, I've looked into it. I've done what we do. I went on YouTube and searched videos and resources and books and whatnot. And it was quite scary, actually, because... And I don't know if you have been through that, if you can resonate with that, but at the beginning, what I was met with was a wave of reminders of how broken I was. They were literally saying it. A narcissistic mother destroys her child. I actually remember those words. It was like a blow. This very hard approach that I was broken, that you are broken, and that you have been destroyed. It's really harsh, and I didn't find it very helpful at all. In fact, I really was glad that I met other ways to go about this way before I came into this topic, because I would not have liked to go through some kind of therapy. I'm not talking about therapy in general, but some kind of therapy with people that would see me as broken and as being destroyed. So I want to say this again. You are not broken. You do not need fixing. Your system actually has worked to perfection, because given the circumstances you were brought up in, has found incredible strategies to protect you. And this is really, really important. And when we look deeper into that, there are gifts in there which are valuable. And when you start understanding that, like what I'm doing right now, I wouldn't be here talking to this. I wouldn't have the capacity to observe the way I do and to understand things the way I do if I hadn't been through some of the stuff I've been through. And I'm not trying to go cliche, be grateful for whatever crap your life has been up until now, but it's just to say again, you're not broken. You do not need fixing. What you do need, though, is to understand and explore so that you can actually start feeling good. It's like that's the thing. If your life felt 100% awesome, you would not be here. Okay, you wouldn't be listening to this right now. You'd be, I don't know, doing something else that makes you feel awesome. So if I felt awesome, I would not have gone looking into the whole narcissistic stuff. I would not. I had things, I had problems, I had my life was a whole big problem. And there was a lot of bad stuff in my experience, in my everyday experience, and I did not like it and it made me unhappy. So that's the crux of it. Like you want to feel happy, you want to feel loved, you want to feel alive, you want to be understood, you want to feel held, you want to be seen by the people around you, your friends, your partners, your loved ones. You want to be able to express the love to the world and feel safe while you're doing that. Not feeling like something is gonna hit you back real hard if you try to open up just a little. And so that's what this is about. It's about going from where you are, which again, I'm gonna say it again, it's not broken. It's not needing to be fixed, but to go from where you are more into a place where you, same person, but you can feel more alive, vital, and happy. And of course, this episode is not about making unnecessary other healing modalities that can be extremely useful tools to have. Although, in my experience, that can happen. You might have actually used, I have let go of some of the healing modalities I've learned in the years. I don't, some I still use. Some they were useful in the moment, some really didn't work. So it is important. It's not that if it works for someone else, it has to work for you. That doesn't make a modality good or bad. It's just what works and what doesn't for you. That's important. But all of this is about taking the first step from living in the shadow of your mother towards loving yourself enough to break the cycle of pain and reclaim your life. That's what this is about. It's about you. It's about you reclaiming your life. And the way I work with this, it's all about that. And the way the women's circle is designed, it's to do just that. It's to go in. It's to go in inside of yourself. It's an inner exploration of yourself, of your own body, of the mechanisms, of I can't, it's very hard to describe in words, but it's all an inner journey, and at the same time you're held and supported by other women that are on the same journey as you are. That's the magic. That's the healing. And it really works. And you can start now. You can start now. You're here, you're listening to this, you've already started. So I invite you to check the link in the description to start and to access a free self-love practice that is available on my website. It's a simple practice and yet it's really potent, and you can start doing that right now, taking the first steps, because every woman deserves to live a fulfilling life where she feels safe, loved, and alive. Lots of love, and bye for now.